parental discretion is advised.
The proof is in the pudding, okay? I called that match right down the middle. And then all hell broke loose, all right? And then what I saw what you did at Triple H, and I know you're not going to understand this, and I know they're not going to understand. All right? But he is my best friend.
Hi, this is the Monster Abyss from Impact Wrestling, and you're listening to the Pain Clinic on WHTK. Feel the pain.
The time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Good morning, wrestling fans. Welcome to the Pain Clinic for November 2nd. Wow. This year is going by so quick. Holidays today. Just a couple. Book Lovers Day. Deviled Eggs Day. And Look for Circles Day.
That makes them delicious.
Yeah, circle. You probably do all three of them at the same time. Find a circle book about deviled eggs. Birthdays today, real quick. Turning 43 is former WCW and WWE valet slash diva Charmel Sullivan Huffman. Charmel, you remember her? She's part of the women's band from WCW. Remember that? What are they called again? Come on, Danger Boy. I'm taxing you.
It's a long time
ago. The singing group.
Yeah.
Something Five? No.
It was terrible.
Yeah. We had her on. Remember we had her
her and Ginger Spice or whatever the heck she was.
Well, she's 43 today and lovely as ever. Also hitting the big dirty 30 today, and we'll do a shout out to WWE's only openly gay wrestler, Darren Young. He is 30 years old today.
Millions of presents.
And don't forget the ladies. Ooh. Did you see last Monday when they were trying to sell the items?
Yeah.
It's the end of the month rush, I think. I want you to know Pain Clinic's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Delight Empire at Culver. Join us for WWE Survivor Series pay-per-view November 24th. And a special guest with us that day, WWE Hall of Famer Jimmy Snuka, is going to be joining us at Salvatore's at the garage door, 149 East Ridge Road. We'll be hosting it. We'll have some stuff to give away. Jimmy Snuka will be there. Maybe he'll. We're trying to talk him into doing the super fly on Chuck at Salvatore's.
That'd be fantastic. Yeah,
we'll just hold Chuck down to the ground and let Jimmy. I don't know. Nevertheless, maybe neither of them will get up after it, which would just be scary. But there'll be prizes and drink specials all night long. That's WWE Survivor Series with special guest WWE Hall of Famer Jimmy Snuka joining us at Salvatore's at the garage door. On November 24th, write it down in your calendar. Come on out, meet Superfly. He'll have some books, I believe, to sign and autograph. Looks like a great time. And if you're into UFC, join us November 16th for UFC 167 at Salvatore's. That's also 149 East Ridge Road, Salvatore's at the garage door. UFC welterweight champ George St. Pierre takes on Johnny Hendricks. It's going to be probably, I'm thinking, one of the fights of the year. I cannot
it
wait.
Should be.
Johnny Hendricks is a strong son of a gun, and this is a real test for George St. Pierre. It starts at 10, get there early. Well, once again, we'll be hosting it, giving stuff away. November 16th, Salvatore's at the garage door, UFC 167. Hey, let me introduce the cast and crew of the show. I'm the Cash Man and Richie Rich. I'm your host with the most, not really, and I'm here with DC Dan Cole. Good morning, DC.
Those promotion lessons with Borash are really paying off, Rich. Remember, top bill, we are the jobbers.
Yes, that's right. Yes, and also with us is Danger Boy.
I'm going to give a quick shout-out to someone I met at a party last night named Tim, who's a huge fan of our show.
Oh, really? Hey, Tim. Nice to meet you, buddy.
Hello, Tim.
Now, we are missing two guys, Jay-Z and the Artiste.
And you know where they are.
They are, yes, in the hot tub of love. But you guys knew that already. I could have made that a trivia question. Where are they? But by the way, I'm celebrating 20 years at WHTK. This is it was technically my first day here. It was November 1st, 1993. I bet you have some listeners who weren't even born then.
We almost have some hosts that warmed up.
November 1st. So I'm, this is my 20th anniversary here at WHTK, and it's just been great. And I want to thank everybody for, you know, being with me and, you know, my perseverance and lack of ambition at times, you know. So.
Well, we discussed that last night, yeah. Lack of ambition.
Yeah, that's right. And DC Dan Cole, the band, he was out at Salvatore's last night playing with Mark Fantasia. They were playing, they were getting, people were into it, and I cannot wait to see you guys again. Next weekend, you guys will be playing out. This is the full mid-card band.
Yes.
They're going to be playing two places in Rochester next weekend, and I have a feeling Pain Clinic guys are going to be at both of them. That'd be Friday at Pineapple Jack's.
That is correct. And then the next night at Daisy Duke's out in Webster.
And we're going to all ride the bull.
Show up, listen to the band, and ride the bull.
Ride the bull, and I think we should get Mark to ride the bull while he's singing.
Yeah, that,
he said he wanted to. He wanted to get a wireless hookup for his guitar.
Yeah, I think he could do it. We'll just keep it wired so it'll get all messed up. But hey, that's this next weekend. This weekend, no wrestling events to talk about, except for one that we'll talk about in the next segment happening in Elmira, New York. It's called the Legends of Wrestling, and we should have Bushwhacker Luke on with us. Remember him? Bushwhacker Luke. You might remember him because he licked your head sometime when you were a little kid or something, because that was
That rash is.
No. But let's talk about, we have some beefs in the world of wrestling that we got to talk about. And I know.
Not all of us have beefs.
Okay, not all of us have beefs. But we had a pretty interesting week this past week. It seems like a lot of things changed on Monday Night Raw with the direction and things we're going with. And why not start the show out with the new World Heavyweight Champion John Cena and Money in the Bank man cashing in his chocolate suitcase.
What a waste.
And we all have opinions on that. I'll just say off the beginning, first of all, usually you don't cash it in until someone's already hurt in the ring. And he kind of beat up John Cena saying there's no way his elbow could be right. And it was a great match. I'll say that. There's two commercial breaks in it, so you know it was a great match, or at least a long one. But and we saw the Money in the Bank pretty much not successful. The first time since – actually, it's the first time
– Unexpectedly.
It's the first time the Money in the Bank person did not win the match, because even when John Cena did not win the title, he won it by DQ. So this is the first time the Money in the Bank person holding the case did not actually win the match when they cashed it in. They lost the match. So is it the death of Money in the Bank? Does that mean it's worthless? I mean, you're carrying around a suitcase. I'm a bitch. Honestly, I'm sure if he has Sandow, he's probably happy to say, man, I'm glad I don't got to carry that thing around anymore. But in reality, it's a pay-per-view. They just take a pay-per-view. You know, the people work towards winning that match, and they threw it away. You know, they said, you know what? You're not going to get the title now. It's not guaranteed. And not really too happy about that. I mean, it was bound to happen sometime. It's kind of like the guy who, there was a period when the person who won the Royal Rumble always didn't go to WrestleMania.
And then Booker T won it. Lost to Triple H.
Yeah, that's right. But there was a period before that when you won the Royal Rumble, it didn't mean you got a shot at WrestleMania. Yeah. So it's kind of like the Money in the Bank. That kind of, maybe that's passe now. What do you think, Dan?
What upsets me is that I think it was nothing more than an excuse to try to boost ratings on a very competitive Monday night of TV. Because I guarantee you the original plan when Sandow won the briefcase wasn't this.
No, in fact, I'm sure the plan wasn't for him to be lost in the side stories of everything else in the last 5 months, too, because he was really prominent right after he won it, and then he kind of got pushed aside.
And I mean, anybody that knows me knows my continuous gripe is just it seems like no one is ever good enough to beat John Cena. He's always going to win no matter what. And I heard the other argument. It's like, oh, you know, Sandow wasn't ready to win the World Heavyweight Championship. It wasn't right for him. He hadn't been built up enough. Well, there's a simple solution. You just don't have him cash in yet.
Yeah, I mean,
there wasn't a timetable for him to have to cash in.
And you know, if he was going to cash in on anybody, why not Alberto Del Rio? He was a weak champion, you know?
Yeah, it made no sense. It made the intellectual savior seem actually a bit stupid.
Yeah.
Of all the other opportunities, he could have done it, but he does it, you know, last Monday.
Yeah.
I'm going to be a little more... I want to see what they do with it. If they continue elevating him to where he's going to have a feud with John Cena... And maybe not necessarily take the title off him, but actually become more of a main event type player, because they don't have enough of them. If they keep going in that direction, I'm okay with it. If this is one shot and it's done and he's back down wrestling, you know, Darren Young on main event or something like that, different story.
Yeah.
I feel you got to let things play out a little bit. And as for the Money in the Bank being dead, it eventually had to happen sometimes, and it adds a little intrigue. It was getting stale. Every time someone would cash, oh, yeah, they're going to win. It's a little stale, especially when you get people. I mean, when Dolph Ziggler won it, we all wanted him to be a champion, but he wasn't at championship level. Damian Sandow wasn't at championship level.
Man, Dolph Ziggler was, and then he got a concussion, and it kind of...
Well, that's when he had the title.
Yeah. But he did win it after...
He held it for a long time before he cashed in, though.
Oh, yeah. That's true. And it's, you know, I mean, I actually felt that when The Miz got it, I kind of downgraded it a little bit, you know, a few years ago. And, you know, the thing is it's the excitement of the champion being disabled. And, you know, is it going to happen now? And, I mean, I've never... Once the guy has the briefcase and swears he's going to come out at any time, how many times have you seen the champion get beat down at the end of a match and everyone's looking at the stage and they're staring at the stage waiting for that music to play? And, you know, I mean, to be honest with you, I was there for the very first Money in the Bank cash-in, and that was Edge against John Cena after the Elimination Chamber match in Albany at New Year's Revolution. I can't remember which one it was.
Yeah.
So New Year's Revolution, because there was a New Year's Resolution, too, which was a TNA pay-per-view. But we were there, and it's like the pay-per-view stunk. And then that happened, and it made like the greatest pay-per-view I've ever seen. So, you know what? Maybe it's time has come and gone, but I think that you can't base a pay-per-view on it anymore if you're not going to, you know, if it's not going to. Or that, actually, wasn't it a surprise that he won that match anyways? I mean, did you feel that he was the guy who was going to get elevated from that Money in the Bank match?
I forgot who exactly was in that match with him.
Cody Rhodes.
It was all heels. Cody Rhodes, Dean Ambrose. Oh, wow. Yeah, that shows how memorable the actual talent
it wasn't the superstar
was.
One, because they were promoting another one as, like, the all-star one, so it made the other one look. It made this one look like it was garbage.
Christian in it, too, I think?
No, he was in the all-star one.
That's right. So, nevertheless, it's going to change things. You have a comment or a question, 222-1280, star 1280 is the number. You can text us at 222-1280, and if you don't have the guts to give us a call, and I know I say that, and I don't mean that, but I'm just saying,
calling them out.
No, but people are driving around working and stuff, and they can't call in, and they want to text us. It's real pretty easy, you know, just to pull over and text us real quick, and then get back on the road and listen to us make fun of your texts.
Real quick, I just wanted to roll this into something else. I mean, my gripes aside, it was one of the better Raws we've seen in quite some time, and I think it ties in. I know Vince McMahon had one of his big business calls this week. And one of the big gripes was that SummerSlam really didn't sell. And Vince's argument for the lack of strong numbers on SummerSlam was that people aren't buying the attraction.
Yeah, I was disappointed at that.
It upsets me, too. And here's the problem that Vince will never get through his head, is they put on a better product the night after every single pay-per-view than they put on pay-per-view that people have to shell out $60 for. You know, I can't tell you the last time I shelled out of pocket to buy a pay-per-view.
Yeah, I agree.
And I'm not going to anymore, because you never know.
Yeah, you know, and the thing is after the money in the Hell in the Cell one, where there was no, I'm not Hell in the Cell. What was the one before that? The one where there was no resolution at the end of the pay-per-view. I felt.
It was the one in Buffalo. It was Battleground.
It was terrible. It was just the worst end you could do. And so at least we got resolution at the end of this last pay-per-view, even though. You knew it was coming to come down to Shawn Michaels and Triple H more than the two guys who were in the match. So, and that's exactly what happened, you know. So, but you know what? The Raw was good. I enjoyed that Raw immensely. I mean, because one, we got a great match to start the show with a championship match. We got two two rematches, you know, and then we had, of course, the Wyatt family being,
beating the hell out of everybody.
Being elevated in the WWE as probably the number one heel team now. I mean, it seems like the Shield got pushed down and, Wyatt family got pushed up. 222-1280, star 1280 is the number. Give us a call or text us. Like I said, if you're outside the area code, 585-222-1280. But, you know, we got to take a break. We got to get our guests on the flip side, or try at least. I tried to give him a call a little bit ago, and I have not heard from him. We're supposed to have Bushwhacker Luke. He's coming on to talk about the Legends of Wrestling. It's an event in Elmira at the First Arena tonight, and hopefully we'll be talking to him on the flip side. And don't forget, Jimmy Superfly Snuka in the studio with us. 3 weeks from today, the day before Survivor Series, and he'll be joining us in the studio. He'll be at the Lancers game, being the honorary captain of the Rochester Lancers that night, and then the next day he's joining us at Salvatore's for Survivor Series pay-per-view, where you can meet him. And that's it's so exciting. It's really cool to have a Hall of Famer in the studio with us. So we got to go to break. Give us a call, 222-1280, star 1280. You're listening to Pain Clinic on Sports 1280 WHTK.
Pretty good.
He thinks he's tougher than he is. If he comes back, Alberto Del Rio is going to put him on the shelf after just one match.
Is he imitating me?
Of course. Spot on.
I don't sound like that.
This is the WWE. You want to make it here? You learn this. Here, in this snake pit, you don't trust anybody.
Sports 1280 WHGK, an iHeart radio station.
You have been on a power trip. You've abused your authority. You have been manipulative, and you have ruined lives. But in this day and age, it is what's best for business. Therefore, the monster is yours to unleash.
Hey, it's CM Punk from the WWE, and you are listening to the Pain Clinic on Sports Radio 1280 WHTK.
Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I'm the Cashman here with Danger Boy and DC Dan Cole. The Double D's are working it in the studio tonight. Woo! Sorry, turn a little bit of Danger Boy in. Huh?
Always a good day when the Double D's are in studio.
All right. Uh-oh. Hey, and of course the Artists and Jay-Z are in the hot tub of love. That's right. Let me tell you who brought the Pain Clinic to you. We're brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Light Empire at Culver. I'll hit it one more time. I'm going to keep hitting this until we see this man. Join us for WWE Survivor Series pay-per-view November 24th with WWE Hall of Famer Jimmy Snuka joining us at Salvatore's at the garage door, 149 East Ridge Road. It's going to be hosted by us. We'll have stuff to give away. Jimmy will be there. You know, it's going to be a great time. We'll be had by all. And that's WWE Survivor Series pay-per-view, November 24th at Salvatore's at the garage door, 149 East Ridge Road. You got to get there early that night. I swear, if you want to get in, because I have a feeling Jimmy's going to pack the place.
Well, he should.
Yes, he should. So we're still trying to get Mr. Bushwhacker Luke on. Let me talk a little bit about the show that he's, well, I'll let him do about it when we get him, but we still got some more news. What do you guys think about Shawn Michaels and the feelings you're getting after what we saw happen to him on Monday Night Raw? I'll throw mine out there first because I was pretty vocal about this. Shawn Michaels, I'm not absolutely convinced Shawn Michaels is done in the world of wrestling, as in the ring action, because he came out and he cut a heel promo. I mean, a sympathetic heel promo. But a heel promo on Monday night where he told Daniel Bryan, you know, stay in your place. What do you guys think? I mean, do you think that do you feel that maybe there's a room for him to get back in the ring, maybe at WrestleMania?
Well, there's definitely room for him to get back in the ring, but at the same time, I think what you saw Monday night with him getting the yes lock and sitting there and getting beat up, I think that's what we're going to see from him for a long time. I don't think they're going to keep him in the current storyline, especially with immediately right after they had Daniel Bryan get beat up by the Wyatt family, which completely changed direction for his character. So it was great to see Daniel Bryan finally be serious, not lead the yes chance and all that stuff, and hopefully they go with that way with his character. But all those who think Shawn Michaels go wrestle at Survivor Series or anytime soon, you probably won't see him anytime soon on TV.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's absolutely no way he would get in the ring anytime before WrestleMania. And here's what the trick would be, is everybody assumed with Michaels getting involved, you know, he was either going to directly partner with Triple H or directly defy, and they took a position really no one expected, where it wasn't, he was really in league with Triple H, but he was just being a friend. So, I mean, I know I had anticipated maybe seeing Triple H Michaels as a big, you know, semi-main event draw.
That might be Daniel Michaels if they bring it back.
Which would really upset me, because I was hoping the whole payoff of not giving Bryan the title now would be to have him in the title picture at WrestleMania 30. So I just feel like that would really hurt that. And like you said, you know, like almost like with Sandow, if it ends up leading to something, I'll be okay and wait to see where they go. But part of me really thinks WWE missed the chance with Daniel Bryan now to really strike while the iron's hot, because now they're going to have him sitting on a back burner for the next 3 to 4 months. And there's no guarantee that he's going to keep the momentum in the rabid fan base and just that energy of the crowds every night. And I think they're taking a big gamble on this.
Well, yeah, and then now they're going to, I mean, everyone assumes that the Big Show is going to step into the main event picture now. And the Big Show, and I like the Big Show. The Big Show made fun of us. He seems like a cool guy. He is not getting the reaction that Daniel Bryan was getting the entire time he had this run going for the last 6 months. And I think it's going to actually hurt the title picture to have it as Randy Orton and the Big Show.
Do you know what? I felt before the pay-per-view that Daniel Bryan was not going to win and he was going to get pushed back down because, obviously, listen, not only is it what they were saying, and, you know, I mean, there's some truth behind what Triple H was saying, but remember what Vince McMahon said at the meeting, or said the things that they were trying to do weren't just working? You know, I think that has a lot to do. That's kind of maybe how you can translate what Vince was saying, is Daniel Bryan being a main eventer is not what's selling pay-per-views. We love him all because we know this guy can work forever. He can work behind it. He can work everyone under the ground. I mean, he's very popular and he's doing very well, but is he selling pay-per-views? Obviously not. If the last two were down, he's not.
However, the SummerSlam one that was down, you know, in a lot of buys, it was almost 100,000 buys it was down, also was headlined by John Cena in that match, too.
That's true. That's true. I'm not going to take that away from him. And everyone knew John Cena was also taking time off after that pay-per-view. So I think that, you know, I want to give my two cents on it. I think Shawn Michaels, there's a match. He wouldn't come out there and cut that heel promo if there wasn't a match in the future. What they'll do is how to reinvigorate it is they'll keep showing that stuff over and over. You know, they'll show that clip of him saying, you know, calling him a punk or whatever, a puke. That's what it was. And let's take a couple calls. We got Rashawn from Maryland. What's up, buddy?
Hey, it's Virginia, guys, but good morning.
Yeah, it's all the same place to me, you know. Mid-Atlantic.
All right, I just got two real quick comments, and one thing is actually both are about the angles. Like, for both organizations right now, I'm kind of, like, not getting into most of the angles because I know that they're about to start doing the Christmas breaks and all the holiday breaks and stuff, so everything's about to be taped, and you know how angle will disappear for a few weeks and show back up. So I think they're just trying to do a reset for the WrestleMania run, and I think they're just trying to kind of clear the slate
I felt what they were doing at the Monday night after the pay-per-view was setting up WrestleMania altogether. Triple H getting back in the ring eventually with Big Show, obviously, and Big Show and Randy Orton. I mean, this is obviously, and Vince McMahon is going to play a part in this, and he'll probably show up next week or the week after. He's going to come out and say, I'm the one who brought back the Big Show. This is my company, you know. Just waiting for it to happen.
It was supposed to happen on Monday, and they changed the show in the last hour.
And also Monday, the Shield was supposed to be the ones that took out Daniel Bryan and CM Punk, and they decided to make that the Wyatt family because they didn't feel they were getting enough rub from the first Wyatt family, feud they had. So the Wyatt family got elevated like crazy, and they're going to be in a tag match, I guess, at Survivor Series against Punk and Daniel Bryan, which unfortunately
it's supposed to be a 4-on-4 match.
Oh, yeah. So so will we get primetime players thrown in there, too?
Awesome.
I mean, on the one hand, I am glad, though, as you said, to see the Wyatts kind of getting elevated because you're not, I'm sorry, no offense to all parties included, but you're not going to elevate yourself coming out and beating up R-Truth. Or Miz.
Or Miz, yeah.
Or all these, I'm sorry, mid and undercard guys.
You're going to make me happy beating up R-Truth and Miz.
Oh, absolutely, but it does nothing for them.
Correct.
Well, you guys just gave me a great segue, because that's actually to my next point. When I saw the Wyatts take out Kane months ago, yeah, we knew he was taking time off, we knew there was a movie coming up and everything like that, but a great way to build that angle was, you know how they took him out and it's got to follow the buzzers line. That'd be a great way to freaking expand the faction if they wanted to. And they could have done it with The Miz. Some of these mid-card plus players, you know, like The Miz or like R-Truth, they could have just brought them into the faction. Now they're sipping on the Kool-Aid, I guess.
Yeah, well, you know, we must explain to our listeners that mid-card means guys who aren't in the main event. Because, I mean, not everybody understands the vernacular of professional wrestling. We're all a little too inside sometimes when we talk about it. And the mid-card's also a great band if you're in Rochester.
Oh,
so.
I was waiting for that. Thank you, Rich.
I had to work that in. But and in the vernacular of the mid-card, when you guys finally make it, you're going to be the main event, right?
Either that or the whole effing show.
But, yeah, you know, the thing is they're gonna, I don't know if they're going to be adding people. Obviously, you're going to Bray with them. They'll have to have. I always thought Kane was going to come back with them.
And it almost looked like he was going to after he beat up The Miz at Hell in a Cell, and then he gave his match to Stephanie on Monday.
Which, yeah.
And see, like I said, I mean, all and tie that in with all the references to the attitude they've been throwing out every time Dustin Runnels shows his face on TV. It's like, are they trying to build a major faction to try to recreate that attitude era feeling? That's what I'm wondering on the side.
Corporate Ministry 2.0.
Ministry
2.0.
That can happen.
Forget the union afterwards.
Union.
They'll never recreate the NWO or DX, but I mean the Wyatt's got that feeling going right now, and I think they busted a great opportunity to kind of expand it slowly or however fast they want to do it. I just think they botched that opportunity pretty good.
Well, you know what the thing is you just can't try to recreate those things. You have to try to make something new, a new angle on something, a new slant, and that's the Wyatt family's trying to do that. So.
Speaking of the Wyatt, is anybody speculating on the new line, The Devil Made Me Do It?
Yeah, I've seen it twice now. There's been lots of
speculation, especially after a certain somebody said on top of the Hell in the Cell before he got beat up with a cane that he was the devil.
No.
The devil's going to be Vince. He's going to be behind all this.
Vince is going to be the good guy in the whole thing.
Yeah, Vince is going to be. He's going to be the guy who brought the big show back in, He's going to be. But we'll see. We'll see how everything pans out. They changed Monday Night Raw 2 hours before the show was on the air and turned it from the Shield doing all that, beating people up, to being the Wyatt family. So
the CEO's got the Shield. The CEO's got the freaking Wyatt. There you go.
Yeah, you could have a 3-on-3, but I think it looks like they're teasing the Shield to break up. They're teasing Roman Reigns to get out, I think, and he'll be like a super baby face when he's free.
Well, yeah, the promo that Dean Ambrose cut and some of the other interviews, he was like asking those guys, what's wrong with you? I'm good. What's wrong with you?
Yeah, you see the face that he was making in that last promo when he was like staring at him as Dean Ambrose was cutting the promo. That's obviously setting up the split. So, and that's not a bad thing. I mean, everything happens for, those guys don't want to come in a group most of the time. They want to be single wrestlers. That's where, they make all the money, I mean, not to say that groups don't, but it's a hell of a way to introduce somebody.
They've also had a year-long main event run.
Yeah, it's been, it's time, It's not Vader time, but it's time.
I was going to say, this is one of the one things WWE actually did right, is over the course of the last year, every single member of the Shield has been legitimized as somebody that can be a top star.
Yep.
Every single one of them.
Yeah,
except for one factor. No, the incredible absence of merch for the Shield.
Yeah, much like the Big Show.
Big Show's got new merch.
I was just going to say that. I actually tweeted the Big Show a picture of him talking to us. I said, Big Show talks to the Pain Clinic about needing new merch. 2 weeks later, Big Show has new merch.
Nice.
Coincidence?
Nice.
It's weird that he gets a new shirt despite being fired from the company and now banned from the buildings.
and his music still plays when he comes out.
His music still plays.
Hey, Ershan, thanks for calling, brother.
No problem.
We'll talk to you later. We got Dave from Henrietta. Dave from Henrietta, how are you doing? Is that dog barking?
No dog.
Okay, no dog. Oh, I see. You got rid of it. Okay.
Yeah, Precious is in the...
We drove out to the country, and she got free. And
wait, hold on. Is your dog's name really Precious?
No, it's Lucy.
I was going to say, Precious. Give me back my dog. My Precious. What's up, Dave?
All right,
now that we come to a crash. Okay.
I'm kind of miffed at the whole idea if the Money in the Bank thing is going to get killed. I mean, I read that basically maybe Damien Sandow was elevated to show that he can still put on a great match with John Cena, and I agree with what you said. If it depends on what they do with it, but maybe it was more of a help than a hurt to show that he can stand with John Cena. I am just tired too of the whole Cena Superman thing, and I always thought of it as a good insurance policy for, hey, what if the champion gets injured? Then all of a sudden you get this quick turnaround, we can cash in Money in the Bank and then figure out where we're going to go from there. Rather than, we have to hold the title up because the champion's injured.
Yeah, but people got injured, they had Money in the Bank, and they still didn't go to them. I think that's happened a couple times. So, the thing is they'll rather let someone sit before they'll give someone with the Money in the Bank the title win. We've seen it a couple times, but Cena, the thing is John Cena, you got to watch this. November 10th is the debut of the second half of the first season of the WWE's, what's it called, Total Divas on E.
Right.
And John Cena, have you seen the clip where he talks about pooping his pants in the middle of a match? It is very, very funny because apparently
it happened.
It happened. He was wrestling Del Rio and he had stomach problems and he just pooped his pants. He said everybody in the place knew it. He did it. I think there's a picture coming out there someplace. I don't know. John Cena, I don't hate John Cena. I really, you know, I think that he's like a force in the WWE, whether you like him or hate him. He polarizes people. And because, you know, you heard when he came out Monday, the first thing, it was just boos and boos and, you know, and he goes, I kind of miss that. You know, it's like, well, he wasn't gone that long to miss it, first of all. But he, you know what, and I'll have to let him, and he even admits it, that the title he's holding, the World Heavyweight Championship, is a secondary title. He admitted it in an interview this past week. And, you know, power to him. If he can, you know, give it some prestige, and he'll be on SmackDown. Obviously, it's more on SmackDown than it is on Raw with that title. If he gives it some prestige, you know, I think they kind of killed it a little bit with Alberto Del Rio for as long as he held that belt. That belt really hasn't been significant in quite a long time.
Yeah, I think it definitely raises it up with, you know, Cena holding it. It's just a matter of I don't think Big Show is going to be the payoff versus Orton. I think it's going to be more Big Show versus Triple H, but then it seems like Orton's going to be on such a roll that, you know, it's kind of like going back to the Hulk Hogan thing, that nobody's actually going to beat him for a while. I mean, who are you setting up Orton in, you know, for WrestleMania? And if you accept, like, Bryan versus HBK possibly for WrestleMania, or even Bryan versus Triple H for WrestleMania, I just don't see who's going to, you know, who's going to win the Royal Rumble, Orton or Cena?
Oh, I'd be rather not know at all, to be honest with you. I hate that feeling that I do know when it goes. I go into it, but you know what? It's who's been given the pleasure. I think it's going to be Daniel Bryan. Right now, I'm making a prediction in the month of November that Daniel Bryan will win the Royal Rumble.
He will win the Royal Rumble, and the champions at the time of his decision will still be John Cena and Randy Orton.
And remember this, Randy Orton, he's beaten him every time he's faced him. He just hasn't ever gotten the title out of it. So this is kind of like the chase. You know, it's still the chase going on. So it's just going to take it all. Maybe, you know, it could be HBK, too, in WrestleMania. That, by the way, I heard your dog. It could be HBK in WrestleMania, too, with him. I think that would sell. I mean, this past WrestleMania was disappointing, I guess, for numbers, because for what the money they put into it. Believe it or not, even though they say they got millions and millions or whatever, millions of dollars.
We were there, Rich. We can tell you firsthand that it was a disappointing event all around.
Yes, it was.
Number-wise and just event-wise. And once again, back to my statement, Monday Night Raw, free television, the night after, was exponentially better than WrestleMania.
It was. Hey, Dave, I got to go to break because I'm late. I just realized how late I was. So thank you for calling, sir.
All right, no problem.
Okay, we'll talk to you real soon. Your dogs are barking, by the way. Oh. Tatanka is going to be at this show in Elmira tonight, the legends of wrestling. We'll be back just after this break. You listen to Pain Clinic on Sports 1280. Oh, by the way, Mick Foley is going to be coming to the Comedy Club in Webster in January to do one of his talks. So we'll talk about that later. You're listening to Pain Clinic on Sports 1280 WHTK.
Let me tell you something, you self-righteous little puke. For 7 months, I've been listening to people call you a B-plus player, and the whole time, I have stuck up for you, saying, no, he's an A-plus player. You want to know something? I quite honestly don't know. And once more, I don't care. What I do know is this. I am an A-plus player. I always have been, and I always will be. For the love of God, I am Shawn Michaels. I'm giving you the chance on worldwide TV to shake my hand. Now do it.
You are not world champ. You are now no different than the millions of other little boys tonight doing the same thing with their toy belts. Because AJ, from here on out, it's just a costume. What I need is a real world champion. Someone who is great looking and with all the skills to help me make this company even bigger than it is right now. And I have come up with a way to find just that man. And that is going to be with an eight-man world title tournament.
Yo, my name is Roddy Piper. I love Rochester. I love snow. I'm on a snowblower. I just go through eat it. But when I'm laying down, taking my time, relaxing, I never miss Pain Clinic, baby, because I can relate.
Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. That's right. We're on our snowblowers, Roddy. Roddy's going to be there at the Legends of Wrestling tonight, too. He and Jimmy Hart, they're going to be doing a Piper's Pit, as well as six matches that are going to be, six or seven matches going to be on the card. Check it out today. I'll read it real quick, the press release. Roddy Piper, one of the world's greatest World Wrestling Entertainment. He's a Hall of Famer. He's going to be there. We'll host a highly controversial Piper's Pit, and is setting up to be explosive with Jimmy, the Mouth of the South Hart, as his special guest. At least six legendary matches are on the card. WWE Tag Team Champ X-Pac's going to be there. Flamboyant superstar Brutus the Barber Beefcake, former Intercontinental and World Tag Team Champion Marty Jannetty. Bushwhacker Luke, thank you for calling, brother. And big-time fan favorite Tatanka's going to be there, as well as our friend I.B. Green. He'll be there, too. I think I.B. Green, you know, I miss his screams, you know. Welcome back.
Can be taken horribly.
Yeah, welcome back to the Pain Clinic. Man, we are just... That's going on tonight, Elmira, at the First Arena. It starts at 7, I believe. And don't miss it if you want to go. It's a little bit of a travel down 390, but, man, check it out. It looks like it's going to be a great time. I talked to Bushwhacker Luke just a couple days ago, and now I can't get him to answer his phone, you know. So, hey, power, you know what? Opportunity come, opportunity gone. Let's talk a little. We got the phones lit up a little bit, and I'm not even sure. I think. Oh, by the way, thank you for the text, Chris from Brighton. There thinks that CM Punk is the guy who's behind the Wyatts. You know, he's going to be a guy, but CM Punk kind of got taken out by him too. So I don't know if that's absolutely it. You know, it's just going to be Chris from Brighton texts a lot. Do you notice that?
Yeah.
Thank you for texting 222-1280. That's a number to call us. You can text to that number. We'll see it here. Chris from Brighton, thank you so much for the 15 straight texts. I agree with some of the things he says. So he says the devil is CM Punk. So we'll see what happens. But right now on the line, we have Steve from Rochester, I think. Steve, you there?
Yeah, hi. Good morning, guys.
What's happening?
I just like your opinion on this. I think as I watched the evolution of the WWE through the 80s and the 90s, that was its heyday, and now... you don't really have the characters that you had then. You don't have the managers. You don't have the Jimmy Harts, the Lou Albanos, the Piper's Pit. A lot of, you know, I used to watch that specifically to watch those guys. The talent isn't as character driven. The last character driven talent, big talent, was Steve Austin. I think they thrive better when McMahon's more involved. One of the funniest bits I ever saw in wrestling is when Steve Austin was the doctor and he attacked McMahon in the hospital.
Sure.
That was hysterical.
That's where Mr. Sacco came from. That was the origin.
Yeah, that was just hysterical.
And the best
and, you know, the Kiss My Ass Club was even funny.
Yeah, well, yeah. Unless
well,
you, unless,
it was, I know it was crude, but it was so funny.
Unless you were inducted into it, I guess. Ask Stephen Regal about that.
But it was funny. They just don't have the characters.
Well, I got to say one thing. I don't have my WWE blinders on. Some of the stuff's funny. I'll give you that. A lot of it is. I mean, even the DX stuff that was really tasteless was very, very funny. You know, some of it is just bizarre, you know.
I know that, but it's not character-driven anymore. They don't have the characters they used to have.
You know what? Some people could break down Daniel Bryan to being just the yes, yes, yes guy, you know, because what else do you know about him besides him?
Exactly, and they don't have any managers anymore that are worth anything.
No, no.
I mean, back in the day, you had the Undertaker's manager, that guy, what was his name? He recently passed away.
Percy Pringle, Paul Bearer.
Yeah, Paul Bearer. You had Lou Albano. You had Jimmy Hart.
Yeah, oh no, but you know what? I think they realized that they wanted wrestlers to be able to do promos as well as being able to wrestle.
But another thing that happened is that a lot of these wrestlers got off the juice. A lot of those guys were juiced up back then.
Yeah, but you know, I got to tell you something about juice. Okay, juice makes you look good, but it doesn't make you any better.
You're exactly right.
Yeah.
But it did make him look better, and I think that the product really has gone downhill a little bit. When they got out of the political stuff, with the Iron Sheik. He was hated, that guy.
Oh, sure.
Because he was Iranian.
Yeah.
They've gotten away from all of that. They particularly got away from it when McManus' wife ran for the Senate.
Well, let me tell you something, Steve. They are a publicly traded company.
Exactly. I was just about to say that.
They are a publicly traded company. You be on PC, it doesn't look really good to investors.
Exactly.
You know?
But wouldn't you agree that that bit with Austin in the hospital beating up McMahon was hysterical?
It was hilarious. The whole Austin McMahon angle, I remember never seeing anything like that before in my life, seeing someone come out and beat up the owner of the company.
But, and McMahon's so good at it. The facial expressions he gets, I think the more he's involved, the better the product. That's my opinion.
I appreciate that, Steve. Thanks for calling,
right,
buddy.
Thanks.
Yeah, there's a lot of people who don't have a problem with what you say. There's good aspects to everything. It's a lot, you know, why you can't watch TNA is because they don't have a filter like Vince McMahon dictating what goes on TV and what doesn't, and what, you know, because of the experience he has in the business, he can stop and say, no, that's not going to work. And he's done that many times. Of course, he didn't do it with a gobbledygooker, you know, and there's a bunch of things he didn't do that with. But,
or the Stand Back music video.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, you know, but, you know, he was always experimenting with things, always trying new things. 222-1280, star 1280 is the phone number. Give us a call. You can text us at 222-1280. We haven't really talked about much news at all. Just our beefs. Stephanie McMahon, interesting thing that came out this week. She is under a performer's contract for WWE, which her being an executive in the company kind of makes me think, I don't know, does that mean she's going to be actually in the ring, or is a performer also someone who talks on the mic on TV? I mean, we know people that, you know, there are people there who don't never wrestle, but will be on the microphone.
I would like to know how many wrestlers do not have as good a performer's contract as Stephanie does.
Not bad, not bad.
$325,000 for 3 years.
Yeah, and it's, you know, what they call it, 1099, you know, they don't take the taxes out or anything, you know?
Yeah, the independent contractor.
Yeah. So it's not, you know, but she just switched over to that. They had to make it public because they are a public company. So when they filed their third quarter numbers, they had to admit that Stephanie McMahon is now under a performer's contract. Well, I don't know really what that means for the company, but it means obviously that she could wrestle too, and there's a chance she could be in a wrestling match. And I mean, she's in great shape. I'm not going to take that away from her. She looks great, and now she has Kane's mask in her hand. You know,
she could wear that.
Yeah, she could put that back on, or she could be anybody. who knows? That's one piece of news that came out this week. Chris Jericho, if you're a fan of The Walking Dead, I am, seriously. It's a great show, and he's going to be on Talking Dead tomorrow night after the show. They do like an hour-long talk show where they dissect the program. He's got to be better than Marilyn Manson, I'll say that. I don't know if you saw last week's show, Danny.
I like Chris Hardwick and all the stuff he's doing, but yeah, Marilyn Manson was just...
He's just a distraction.
No.
He was on the show and he was a distraction last week. But Chris Jericho, he'll be the next musician on Talking Dead that will probably do a much better job. Get to find out what kind of fan he is. It's a pretty much an hour live show, so people call in and ask questions. So call in, tell him you heard about it in the pain clinic, and ask Chris a question. I think that'd be pretty cool. Some other news. I thought this was really interesting. Yahoo put out this article this week, and they broke down Raw to the percentages of everything that happened while you're watching it. And they said, based on the first three episodes of Raw from October, there was an average of 33% of the show was in-ring wrestling. 26% was commercials. So that's a mere 7% less was commercials from the wrestling. 14% was promos, and 5% was recaps or highlights and replays. The remaining 21% was other stuff such as ring entrances, highlights from WWE charity events, or Michael Cole showing us how to use the app.
That's outstanding.
One of these days I'll learn how to do it.
Yeah.
Yes, because someone needs to be told in this day and age how to download an app. My 2-year-old nephew can download an app. So apparently WWE does not think highly of the intelligence of their audience.
Well, because they want more than 7 or 8 million subscribers. They want, you know, what they think is their true audience, is which is 265 million subscribers.
Forget the app. I want to download John Cena's racing game.
Yeah, oh yeah. Oh, can't wait.
Oh, that sounds like a lot of fun. Sounds almost as fun as Rockpocalypse.
All right, we got to go to break. 222-1280 is the number, star 1280. Give us a call. Text us. We got more news. I'm going to try one more time for Bushwhacker Luke, see if we can get him to plug this show one more time. You are listening to the Pain Clinic on Sports 1280 WHTK.
Jump. Hey, this is Charlie Haas. You are listening to the Pain Clinic on 1280 WHTK. Listen and feel the Haas of pain.
Well, I tried one more time. No luck.
That's okay, Rich. We'll come in there and lick your head after the show.
Yeah, right? If you guys were a fan of the Bushwhackers or the Sheep Herders or the Kiwis, Luke Williams from the Bushwhackers is going to be at the First Arena in Elmira tonight. Great show. Seemed like a great guy when I talked to him. Man, I wish I had taped it when I talked to him. Could have ran it on the air. I couldn't understand every third word because it said, you know, that New Zealand accent just is legit. But welcome back to the Pain Clinic. 222-1280, star 1280 is the number. You can text us at that number, too. Got a lot of more news that we really haven't touched yet. But I did tease Mick Foley's coming to Rochester. He's going to come and do his comedy show, and I'm going to call it a comedy show. He won't call it that, but I am. I know it's like, I think it's the 10th of January. I'm trying to remember, but he hasn't gotten back to me on it yet, but he's definitely coming. Met a guy, there's a guy who was at our last pay-per-view at the Hell in the Cell pay-per-view, and he told he works there, and he said he's definitely coming. So looking forward to that. Maybe we can get Mick in the studio if it's a Saturday. Would love to have him up here. I've always... Yeah, I love having people in the studio, and we got Jimmy Snuka coming in just a couple of weeks. We have another two Hall of Famers. Can you imagine that? Two? Singing in harmony. No. We got Jimmy Snuka coming 3 weeks from today. He's going to be in, you know, I bet you if you wanted his autograph, you could wait outside by the doors for him to leave. I bet you he'd do it. Think so?
I don't know, brother.
How much money you got?
Yeah.
But
how much you got on?
Well, you guys, let's real quickly go over the Curtis Axel thing. What happened to him before the pay-per-view last week?
Well, Curtis Axel was hurt, I believe it was on Monday Night Raw before the pay-per-view, and they waited until, I believe it was Sunday, to tell everybody that he wasn't going to be wrestling. And supposedly he blew out both his hips, which I don't know how you do that.
I was just going to say, I've been trying to figure out in my head how exactly that happened.
It happened on Raw. We know that. And we definitely know that. You know what? We got a call from one of our hosts who is reminding us something that we probably should talk about. Mr. Artiste, are you there?
Morning, guys.
Morning. Yes. So you're talking about the Cena promo that started Raw last night. I mean, SmackDown.
SmackDown, yeah. No, I got back from Syracuse last night, and I was like, I'm going to watch SmackDown, even though it's ridiculously late at night and I should go to bed. I was really upset last night because Cena comes out and... Not only is it a PG promo, and like I think we all remember the Attitude Era and how much we liked it, and I understand they have to go PG now, and I know you guys are just talking about something like that, but the fact that like John Cena is making fun of it, like he's like, oh, Zip Coulter, you Britney Spears initials, like if you don't know, that's BS, that's bad stuff. I'm just like, I'm insulted as a wrestling fan at this point that now they're even making fun of the point that they're so PG that, like, I just turned off SmackDown. I couldn't take it. I don't know if I'm the only one that's that upset about that, but it's like now it's like just shoving it down our throats. It's like if he didn't make a statement like that, if he just did a regular promo that was PG, I'd be fine with it. But the fact that he's going to go like that, that makes me really miss the old days.
It does, and John Cena is the epitome of PG, you know? I mean, he never has done it. I mean, besides when he was doing his raps, you know, before the PG era. But, I mean, yeah. He's a company man, you know, first and foremost.
It's insulting. It's like, oh, let me remind you. Like, I could watch wrestling now and be like, not thinking constantly, oh, this is PG, this isn't what it used to be. But then I hear stuff like that, I'm like, wow, it should... Am I at 27 years old, like 20 years too old to be watching this right now? Oh, you Britney Spears initials, BS.
Oh, that's terrible.
No, RT's nailed it on the head. The only time you're reminded of the PG era is when John Cena opens his mouth.
Yeah.
If you take John Cena out, there's no other wrestler that really highlights PG So, I mean, everybody knows
and
me.
And he also
just add that to my list of things I hate about the character, not the person, the character, right. John Cena.
Well, he also pulls the drape aside or the curtain aside and kind of lets you have a peek into what you know, he does that all the time.
It really bothers me that Cena comes back and, like, the last time he was in the ring before this week, he was the champion and lost the belt. His first night back, he comes back and beat Del Rio, who nobody's been able to beat. It's just like, oh, by the way, this guy's better than everybody else, so nobody else is a star. Nobody else can beat him. Like, it's pathetic. Like, you don't have, why is John Cena beating Del Rio in his first match against him when they haven't even been feuding? Like, it just makes Del Rio look terrible.
Yeah, and he is.
But Del Rio, he's not terrible. He's just average. I mean, he's not.
There's nothing special about him.
He's a very.
Yes, but you still have to make him look good. I agree that he's not that good. You still have to try to make him look good. Instead of just being like, oh, this guy's had the belt for a while, but just kidding. We were lying. He's actually not any good because this guy can come back on his first try and just take the belt.
Well, I think see John Cena take all the belts that way. Next up, you go after the Intercontinental belt.
Just take all of every title.
Just start taking them all, you know? But,
I mean, look at the last time Cena came back when, you know, undeserved, unearned, he gets a title shot against Chris Jericho. Even after Shawn Michaels, arguably one of the greatest wrestlers of all time, had a great program with Chris Jericho. And, you know, he could never take the title off of him. But here comes John Cena after an injury hiatus and just all of a sudden gets shoved into the main event at a pay-per-view and gets the title with absolutely no build-up.
Well, what about the Royal Rumble? When he wasn't...
Oh, don't...
he wasn't...
Are these windows reinforced? Because I might test them by running into him right now.
Yeah, he comes... What was he, number 29? Was that what he was in the Royal Rumble? When he... Oh, my God, it's John Cena! You know, it's like... Whatever.
Yeah.
People love John Cena. I was talking with some John Cena fans at the pay-per-view last week after it was over. And you know what? If you want your kids to, you don't want to, you know, dabble on the edge of PG-13, John Cena is a safe bet.
They can take their vitamins, say their prayers.
That's right. You know, Hulkamaniacs.
And not only that,
they had a really nice 2 months without John Cena. I really enjoyed that time.
Well, then you remember earlier in the program we were talking about, you know, how it always wasn't a guarantee that the Royal Rumble winner would actually get to go to the main event of WrestleMania. Yeah. Didn't John Cena twice after he won it immediately wanted his match, lost, but then still ended up in the main event of WrestleMania?
Yeah, that's right. I remember someone won the Royal Rumble and then got in a three-way in WrestleMania, so they change the rules all the time and stuff like that. But
as a favor to wrestling fans, John Cena, just stay home and count the money.
Mr. Artiste, will we see you in the studio next week?
I think so.
Yeah, sure.
My schedule's getting a little crazy, but I'll let you know.
Okay, man. Well, we're out of here, so we got. Thank you for calling, man. We'll talk to you later, brother.
All right, thanks.
All right, don't forget, Jimmy Snuka's here in the studio 3 weeks from today. Cannot wait. It'll be so much fun, and we got to get out of here. Thank you for listening. Thanks for calling, and go check out Legends of Wrestling show in Elmira tonight. You will not be sorry. Roddy Piper's there. That's enough to sell me. We'll see you next week, folks. Check out our webpage. Thepainclinic.net, our Facebook, become our Facebook friend, follow us on Twitter, do everything. Thank you, but body slam someone you love, too.